Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, October 12th. Today, we're talking with Colorado Sun business reporter Tamara Chung about the aging workforce in Colorado. Before we begin, a quick message. Join the Colorado Sun for an in-person U.S. Senate candidate forum focusing on mental health. Senator Michael Bennett and candidate Joe O'Day will answer questions on October 18th at 10 a.m. Registration is free, but space is limited. Visit coloradosun.com/events for more information. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Oral arguments took place at the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. on this date in 1972 in a case with wide-ranging implications for race relations and public education, as Denver's school board stood accused of orchestrating an unofficial system of segregation. The High Court declared state-sponsored school segregation unconstitutional in 1954, and the bitter and lengthy process of diversifying public education commenced. For students in predominantly African American and Latino neighborhoods in Northeast Denver, frustrations felt in the Deep South echoed in Colorado. In 1969, advocates for ethnic equality filed a lawsuit claiming that Denver officials had drawn school attendance boundaries to concentrate minority students and assigned most white teachers to other schools. As a result, school segregation existed in the city. A federal court found that the district purposely assigned African Americans and Latinos to 7 poorly equipped schools, and that another 25 schools demonstrated de facto segregation as a result of other policies. The case worked its way through the judicial system when attorneys argued both sides at the Supreme Court. The following summer, justices ruled 7-1 in Keyes versus School District No. 1. Justice Byron White, a Colorado native, sat out the case. The justices found intent to isolate minority students and demanded a more equitable distribution of pupils and resources. Keyes struck a blow against segregation by practice rather than law, in contrast to other decisions that had invalidated statutes. It demonstrated the obstacles Latinos and African Americans faced and expanded the scope of civil rights reform nationwide. Denver used busing to diversify by spreading out the school population, a process that had started in 1969 and grew after Keyes. That controversial policy ended in the 1990s when federal courts ruled that African Americans and Latinos possessed enough influence to secure adequate facilities and resources, even though many schools remained mired in de facto segregation. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun and CBS News Colorado will host a gubernatorial debate on October 13th at 6 p.m. with Governor Jared Polis and candidate Heidi Ganahl. The debate will air and be available to stream. Visit coloradosun.com/events for more information. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. Today, we are visiting with the Sun's business reporter, Tamara Chuang. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Carol.
Thanks for stopping by today. I was hoping to catch up with you on a conference that you recently went to about the aging workforce in Colorado and the number of Colorado workers who plan to keep working past retirement age. And one of the things that caught my eye in your reporting is that in approximately 3 months, there's going to be more people aged 60 and older living in Colorado than residents younger than 18. Can you tell us a little bit at how that plays into the workforce and how our workforce is going to look over the next few years?
Yeah, sure. So I did attend, it was called the Age Inclusive Management Strategies Conference in Denver. And since I've covered topics about older workers, you know, I got invited to this and got to sit and listen to people talk about the research, resources, and Governor Polis was there as well. He's the one who pointed out that in 2023, the number of people over 60 is going to outnumber those under 18 for the first time in Colorado. And a lot of that, you know, we've reported on this, and it's partly because, you know, Colorado has long been sort of this younger population, partly because people were moving here in the 80s, 90s, and so forth to raise their family. So now they're, you know, getting older, looking at retirement or not retirement and just to keep on working. So Colorado, of course, also has similar trends to the U.S. population where, you know, there's fewer babies, fewer young people. So, of course, people who stick around, everyone's getting older. And because of that, you know, the workforce is getting older.
Right. And at this conference, it sounds like Richard Wobekind, who is the faculty director at the CU Boulder Leeds Business Research Division, discussed, I think they had done a survey asking 163 Colorado business executives about plans and expectations for the economy over the next quarter, as well as their hiring trends going forward. Is that anything that you can speak to for us, the Leeds report?
Yeah, that was separate from this aging conference on older workers. The Leeds report is this quarterly update on how the economy is doing in Colorado. And what Richard Wobekind does and his team over at Leeds, they survey, you know, actual business owners, managers, and executives about, you know, what are your plans? Are you cutting back on hiring? Are you seeing lower profits, stuff like that? And of course, you know, it's been a rough year. You know, we're still, some are still recovering from pandemic shortages, not just labor shortages, but supply chain issues, stuff like that. And so the sentiment going into the fourth quarter for businesses is, you know, the lowest it's been in, I think it's in 20 years since they've been doing this survey. Mm-hmm. And really what that's saying is this is what business leaders think is going to happen in fourth quarter, whether it plays out to be worse than what it's been all year. You know, we won't know until the end of the year, until they do the survey again or the results.
Right. And as we take the financial performance report and kind of pull it back to age and 10 years impact on financial performance, again, Colorado's population has been getting older, fewer babies are being born, residents are living longer. And so was it a surprise to hear that come 2023, the number of people over age 60 will outnumber those under age 18 in Colorado?
Well, I think for me, it was kind of a surprise, even though I knew it was coming. It's more of putting it to words and saying, this is happening in 2023. That kind of is like a wake up for anyone who's paying attention. You know, as workers get older, you know, there is going to be a need to keep them employed if, you know, especially since we've been going through the pandemic, and even this year, it's been kind of a not so great financial year for a lot of people. So, you know, if you were looking forward to retirement and the stock market is way down, you know, that's going to cut into your retirement savings. So, you know, a lot of people already were planning to work longer than traditional age of 65. And the main economist at this conference at the aging conference, his name's Rick Guzzo, and he is with Mercer's Workforce Sciences Institute. He's a co-founder of this organization, and they look at trends within the workforce. So one thing, you know, they do lots of surveys, and one thing they found was 84% of the surveys of the workers surveyed said they plan to keep working past retirement age, you know, however they define that, whether that's age 65, age 60, or age 75 or older.
Right. And then one of the things that I appreciated is you and in your recent What's Working column from Saturday had a little informal poll of our readers and listeners, you know, saying, is your company age friendly? And it was just a yes or a no question. Do you consider your company or employer to offer an age friendly workplace? I believe that folks can still go to our website and look for your What's Working stories and columns. And you've still got that poll open, correct?
Yes, it's a little bit longer than just that one question. But, you know, if you want to take it, it's at CoSun, so CoSun.co/age-friendly. And the reason why I asked that question is really because, you know, last week I had written about Colorado's workforce is getting older, but there's research showing why it's beneficial to keep these older, experienced workers on. I mean, financially, Rick Guzzo, you know, he found that older workers with tenure really help boost a company's financial performance, you know, as opposed to, you know, age, whether the worker was just older, that had neutral impact. So it didn't matter if the worker was younger or older, you know, there was neutral impact when it came to age. But because of that, you know, companies that want to try to keep their workers older or younger, they're trying to adopt these more age-friendly policies like flexibility, you know, phasing out retirement, that sort of thing, because, you know, this helps people of all ages. If you offer employees flexible work hours, you know, that older employee can, you know, do what they need to do as an older person, whereas a younger person, maybe a parent with young kids, can go pick up their kids at school. You know, it's just more of an inviting workplace for people of all ages, and that may be what keeps them.
Right. And was there some discussion too within this about institutional knowledge that older workers might bring to a multi-generational workforce?
Yes. I mean, that's the main point of a lot of the tenure and why having employees with a lot of experience, keeping them, you know, they're really valuable. But, you know, even without that experience within the same company, you know, people who have lived, you know, someone who's 21 versus someone who's 61, the older person's just going to have more life experiences too. I mean, maybe it's more organization or management skills. So, I mean, there are different things, but, you know, it really goes multiple directions. I know one of the panelists, her name was Carrie Hannon, and she's a financial senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. And she mentioned that her manager is decades younger than she is, and they work together really well because they respect each other. But Carrie had mentioned that when she started her new job, she didn't understand why her manager wasn't returning emails and phone calls, and then realized, oh, her editor was on Slack. And that's how she communicated best. And that's the thing. It's like, yes, you know, honestly, a manager should really know how to communicate with the worker, but it sort of goes both ways. You know, you can be left out if you don't adapt and learn these new skills, but, you know, it's on each side.
Well, great, Tamara. This is super interesting. I am going to give our listeners where they can find that poll one more time. It's cosun.co/age-friendly. So cosun.co/age-friendly.
Yeah, if anyone just wants to go to coloradosun.com and search for what's working, the latest column will be on our homepage.
Great. Well, I know this is a conversation that we will keep having, and thank you for the continued coverage on the aging workforce.
Sure thing.
And thanks to Tamara, and to everybody who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners at Pirate Audio. Have a wonderful day, and I sincerely hope you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
Read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. Colorado's Air Pollution Control Division is facing a backlog of permit applications since the EPA changed the threshold for ozone-contributing polluters. And the backlog is expected to grow by hundreds more when the EPA finalizes another downgrade of the state's ozone failure to the even more severe level. The growing backlog is one reason environmental groups continue to win state district court orders directing Colorado regulators to finish permits faster and bring pollution sources under greater control. The Democrats' chance to keep the majority in the Colorado Senate got a boost Monday. A Denver District Court judge ruled that the Republican-backed recall effort against Kevin Priola, who switched parties earlier this year and is now a Democrat, cannot start until January 9th. That's when the 2023 legislative session begins and when Priola will begin representing District 13. With Priola, Democrats hold a 21-14 majority in the Senate. Priola is not up for re-election this year, but Republicans were hoping to pick up a handful of Senate seats in November. There are 11 ballot measures facing Colorado voters next month, and one of those would loosen the 1958 laws around bingo games and raffles for charities. Amendment F would allow nonprofits, the only organizations allowed to run pay-to-play bingo games and raffles with significant prizes, to qualify for a license after 3 years instead of five. It also would allow bingo and raffle workers to be paid up to the minimum wage. For more on the November 8th election ballot questions and races, check out the Colorado Sun's new voter guide online. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All three exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.